All right, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, or check out and see now what's been made new or what's become new in you. God wants you to see what's new in you. That word behold is a key word there, because what it does is it gives you something to do. You know, it's all about, see, we're all waiting for God to do stuff, waiting for God to move. God moved. He really moved 2,000 years ago when he hung on the cross. Amen? That's the biggest move he could have made right there. And he left us with the responsibility of moving now. Amen? So it's now it's up to us to do what God is telling us to do. And right here he's telling us to behold, all things have been made new in you. Isn't that good news? That means all the old, before you were saved, it's erased, it's gone. All your past, all the hurts and the pains that you've gone through, they've been erased. Behold, check out now what's been made new. Now, the devil would want you to behold your old nature. Because if you keep living according to the way you used to be, if you keep seeing that in your mind, that's what you're going to live by. And you'll never rise to the level of what God wants you to do. And as we go down further, you'll see in this passage what he wants you to do. He wants you to behold, all things have been made new. And then, let's go down to the, I'll go ahead and read verse 18. And all things are of God who have reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. In other words, he brought us out of the junk and brought us back to himself through Jesus Christ. And now he's given to us. Yeah. Who's us? How many us is here today? Every last one of us is an us. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, to the wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses. In other words, not talking about how bad they are, not waiting for them to get perfect, even though they're getting high. I've ministered to people while they were getting high, and they get saved. I've ministered to people while they're selling drugs. They're in the process of selling drugs. He said, hold on, man, hold on, keep your car honking. And they stopped, and we prayed, and they received Christ. I don't have time to judge or anything. My job is to go out there and be a minister of reconciliation. Amen? And when you make yourself available, then God will use you. Now, here goes an important thing I wanted to say. How many people do you think God wants to be at Truth Tabernacle Praise? How many? He wants to fill the seats? That's the endless amount of people he wants here. So it's not God that doesn't want people here. God is not the problem. You see what I'm saying? God is definitely not the problem, because God would fill this place up. This place is too small for what God wants to do. This is really small. When I first came here, I said, oh, it's a small church, because I know what God wants to do. You know? So God wants to do a whole lot more. So it's not God that's the problem. You see? So I'm not going to say who the problem is. I'm not saying we're the problem. I'm not saying that. I am not saying that in no means. But just like God may want to do a lot of things in my personal life, but he can't do them unless I'm prepared. If God brought 1,000 people here this Sunday, are we prepared to handle 1,000 people? So you see, the key is, in faith, our responsibility is to get prepared for what we believe God wants us to do. But we have to behold what God wants us to do, be able to spend time with God, talk with God, find out what he wants us to do. Once we're clear on it, if we believe it, then we would get prepared for it. Right? Are you prepared? Are you prepared for what you really want? You're dreaming about what God wants to do. You got this great ideal in your mind what God wants to do, but are you getting prepared for it? If you're not prepared, he can't do it. He would love to do it. But I'm not going to dump a big old load on you, God says, if you can't handle it. Right? So let's get prepared. Amen? And that's all we have to do. Just get prepared. And when we get prepared, God will do the rest. With the teens, God told me to get them prepared. Don't try to get them. Don't do nothing but get them ready to do so they can go out and witness and share with people. So that's all we've been talking about. Getting them prepared. All right? So he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. All right. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. We get used to overheads and all this other stuff. We can't even find the stuff in the Bible no more, huh? I use a computer to study with, you know, so I can just go through one side, one scripture, one different translations, go back and forth. And I used to just thumb this Bible real quick, just kind of, it would go to it automatically almost. And I lost that because I'm loud, you know. But, you know, I'm not going to give up my computer now. Don't misunderstand me. Because it's so much easier. But sometimes modern technology hinders us. Like, I know a lot of people like to text message and do stuff like that. But the thing about text messaging, and I'm not against text messaging because now we're finding ourselves with the teams, we have to do that now. But you lose something in it. In other words, if my son calls me and says, or text messaging me and says, I'm doing good, I say, how you doing? I'm doing great. I'm doing good, or whatever. I haven't got to the place in text messaging where I can understand his spirit through the text message yet. Now, some people, I think they've gotten there, right? Dave probably can. Some of the teens says, I can tell when they're mad when they say it like this. I haven't got there yet, so. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Now, our job as ministers, this is our job as ministers, is to get the body of Christ prepared to do something so God can do something. You see what I'm saying? Because God has already done his part. Now it's up to the body of Christ to go. Jesus said, if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit can't come. If the Holy Spirit can't come, you're going to do greater works than I did. The works that I do shall you do in greater works. So, and he said, that means we have to do a work. We have some works to do. We got things we actually have to do other than going to church, right? So if we got works to do, greater works than he did, then we have to be prepared to be able to do those. And now this is how God ordained for us to get prepared to do those works. We know he gave us the Holy Spirit to do the work, but also he's given us gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, and I'm going to start with I'm going to read all the way down to verse 16. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Why did he give these gifts? Those are five ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, right? Why did he give those five gifts? So we can look up to them, right? Because that's pretty much what we're doing with them now, is looking up to them. But he gave us those gifts, it says it right here, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. God, the ministry gifts, the ministry church, we come to church for Bible studies, is to equip us, to equip you to go out and do the work of the ministry. You see? So when I started when the Lord was telling me about the teens, he was telling me that, I said, Lord, when I stand before you, because, you know, time is short, and I can sense time is just getting shorter and shorter and shorter. It's getting faster and faster and faster. You know, let me give you this. Don't let me lose my place about this time. But, and whenever I talk about time, it interests me so much. But the Lord was showing me something about time. I believe it was the Lord. It could have been me. You guys decide. Okay. You know, I couldn't understand why it's, because even the kids, the youth was saying, boy, this year is going by fast. Time is going by fast. We're already in the, you know, I'm thinking, I thought it was just an older person's thing to think the time is going by fast. But everybody knows the time is going by fast, you know. And so I said, now, Lord, why is that? And he gave me an analogy. If you saw an hourglass, right, a big hourglass. When you first flip the thing over, you get bored watching the thing. But when it gets down to the end, it seems like the sand is moving a lot quicker. It's moving the same rate, but you're down near the end. So when we're about to step in out of time and into eternity. And so when time is almost at the end, it could be the Lord, it could be me. But what my point is that because we're near the end, that's why time is moving so fast. That's why it appears to be moving so fast. Isn't that interesting? So because of that, so I said, now, Lord, because it's near the end, I want to do what you've called me to do. I don't want to say, you know, think that I'm supposed to be doing one thing and waiting for it to come, and it never comes. You see what I'm saying? So I want to be faithful and obedient in what's in front of me right now. And ministry, the work of the ministry, is in front of you right now. I'm not talking about street witnessing or sharing. Some of you have family members that you don't even talk to. When they die, they're going to hell maybe. You see? How many of you got family members that if they die today, they're going to hell? Everybody raise your hand. You don't want to raise your hand, but let me tell you something. That's what would happen. You see? There ain't no other options to it. You see? And that's the reality that the devil does not want us to see. So we can just continue to have aught against them or not talk with them or not want to, you know, not want to stretch out ourselves to minister to them. Ministry is right in front of you. You see. And the only reason why we don't, you know, the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. He's filled us with his love so we can go out and reach the world. Even those people who have aught against you, those people who treated you wrong, those people who misused you, you have love in you because they misused Jesus. He still got on the cross anyway. He could say, well, I'm being misused now. This is getting ridiculous. He could have said, that's enough is enough. You know, let him burn. He could have said that. But his love allowed him to be abused and misused, just like some of your family members or some of your friends or some of your workers, your co-workers or whatever. They may be abusing you, but because you have love, you understand that they need that love to be shed on them so they can receive, so they cannot go to hell. The bottom line is there are some people that you know, friends and family members that are going to hell, and you know the truth. All right? So ministry is everywhere. Ministry is amongst each other. Ministering to each other, blessing each other. See, the devil wants us to be quiet and not minister, not be a blessing. Because you get a lot of, sometimes you get a lot of people that's just way off on the deep end, right? And they kind of make everybody look bad. Let God sort it out, okay? Let God, don't you stop ministering because people have been offended by someone else, all right? So he's called us to the ministry reconciliation, and now he's given us ministry gifts, these five ministry gifts, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying and building up of the body of Christ. Now, how long are we supposed to have these five ministry gifts? Till we all come, verse 13, into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So it's we're going to have these fivefold ministry gifts and basically until Jesus comes back. And I'm going to tell you something. This is personal conviction. I believe that without all five ministry gifts, you're anemic. In other words, let's say I got one leg, another leg, another arm, and a head or whatever. That's five parts of my body, right? Well, we know Christ is the head, but just for illustration purposes. Now, I may be able to get around and do well with one arm and one leg. You know, people function with one arm and one leg, but they don't function at their best. And I believe the reason why the church is not functioning at its best because we've neglected all the ministry gifts that's in the body of Christ. You know, the Bible says in Corinthians, and a lot of people use this for communion, but it talks about the church. Some people are dying and sleeping or dying early even and sick because they don't acknowledge the body. But I believe that what I need in my life, my ministry in my life, is right here, sitting right here. There's gifts here that I need. That's why God led us here. You see, there's something that David has that I need. You see? There's something that Elaine has that I need. There's something that Sonny has. There's something in him that's a part of the body of Christ that I need. Something that Linda has that I need. But we're looking to other things and to other people or to some great man to bring it all to us. And now the church has become anemic because we haven't acknowledged who we really are. We haven't beheld the gifts that are inside of us, the hidden treasure that's inside of us, all of us. You see, we're the body of Christ, not one part. And we all have different parts. You know, I use this analogy, you know, and I'm not talking about that today, but it would be terrible. Now, what's the most important part of the body? Let's say some people say the eyes, right? But if we were all eyes, we couldn't leave this room. We'd all be looking at each other. We just be looking. Oh, what's she doing? I can't go nowhere. Let me roll over here and look over here. But we all have different, and I can't expect someone that's an eye to do what, if I'm a foot, to do what I do. But I can do my part as a foot. You know, if it means kick the devil out, I'm kicking the devil out. So I can do my part as a foot. And I can respect and acknowledge the eye for what its part is. Amen? So that's so important. All right, let me go down further than this. It says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, some other translations say to be like Christ. That's our goal, is to be like Christ. Some people, you get quiet when you say be like Christ. Because people think that's too far away. But that's the goal. And that's what you're supposed to be aiming for, to be like Christ. Not like Pastor Daryl, not like Pastor Ronnie, not like Pastor Bobby, not like anybody but Christ. Their goal is to be like Christ. Amen? So our goal is to be like Christ. You see it right here. So our job as ministers is to build you up to get you to be more like Christ. And you see, Christ was a busy, busy, busy person. All right. Okay, go on. Verse 14. That we should no longer be tossed, look at this, that we should no longer be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man and cunning craftiness of deceit plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body fitly, I like this part, from whom the whole body I'm reading from a different translation here. I got a New King James Version here, but I'm used to I know it in the King James, so forgive me for it. It says, for whom the whole body, it says fitly joined in the King James, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective workness by every part, which every part does its share, causes growth for the body, for the edifying of itself in love. Now here goes New Living Translation, verse 15 and 16. Okay. It says, instead, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted tightly, perfectly. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other part grow. I like that part. As each part does its own part, we help the other part grow. And that's how the body of Christ is supposed to be functioning. See, we're supposed to be helping each other grow as we do our, but it says, as we do our part. Do you know what your part is? Because, see, when you stand before God, he said, I gave you a part to do. And because you didn't do your part, it actually affects other people. You know, one of the teens was talking about, he went out witnessing. He'd be bringing people to the Lord, right? People getting saved. But, you know, he's still growing himself, right? And I ain't going to tell you his name. But this lady's son was begging for, he had been giving out his, he had a bag of chips, I guess. And this lady's son was giving out chips to people as, you know, people ask, can I have some chips? You know how kids do. And now this little boy, now he wanted some chips. I guess he's giving out chips. And he said, no, you can't have no chips. But the lady's mother was there. And then the mother said, got on him about why you can't give my son no chips. I can go buy my own chips if I want to. He's probably tired of hearing about these chips by now. Because he said that lady kept going on and on about these chips. And so, and it's an interesting story. But here he was before then, bringing people into the kingdom of God, getting people saved. And this lady actually asked, somebody said she wanted to get saved or something. She wanted to give her life to the Lord. The point is that sometimes we get distracted by chips. We get distracted and not realize what we're here for. We get distracted by the cares of our life, and we don't realize that we're here to be ministers of reconciliation. Amen? So, all right, let me go on. I kind of messed up the story, but the lady wanted to get saved. And the devil started talking to him and telling him that, well, maybe you're not qualified to do this. Well, you don't want to do it wrong and find out they're not really saved. You know what? We're going to find out when, in the end, whether what we've been doing wrong. The thing is, God said he's the one that saves people anyway. All we got to do is go out and be obedient and God, let God take care of the rest. Amen. He'll find a church home for them. He'll find everything they need. Now, we should try to disciple people and bring them along and all that other stuff, but we're near the end. And right now, we need to get as many people accepting Jesus Christ and receiving him as Lord and Savior of their life. Amen? Okay. All right. Now, it says in verse 16 in the New Living Translation, it says, under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other part grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing full in love. Amen? So that's what God has called us to do. That's our part, to recognize our part and to be obedient to it. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. The ministry of reconciliation, the work of the ministry, the work of the ministry. Let's think about it. It's going to be like that. We're going to be standing before God. And are we going to be able to, what are we going to tell him? You know, just think about it. Here we have inside of us eternal life. The ability to minister eternal life to other people. But we would let people walk by. We got on the bus today, and we should have witnessed to the guy, but we were just running so, I was running way behind time. You guys saw what time we got here. It was like 10 minutes to 9, and, you know, class starts at 10. We hadn't picked up the kids yet. We had to pick up some other people from the other side, you know, in Decatur and near Avondale. So we got a little bit behind. So, but this, we got on the bus. I started up the bus, and I saw this head pop up from the back in the mirror. I said, hey, so you're enjoying the bus? I said, you riding with us? Somebody was sleeping on the bus. All right. But, you know, I felt bad because I didn't get a chance to witness to him. You know, I didn't get a chance. We were able to love on him a little bit, you know, make him know. We didn't say, get off the bus. What's wrong with you? You can't sleep on the bus. You know. Now, we don't want people sleeping on the bus, but, hey, that's the best place to sleep if you're out on the street, you know. Yeah. You know, I mean, the bus was being used last night, amen? And it's anointed, too, so, you know. We might see that brother in church one day. He might be the next youth pastor. Praise God. So I'm just, okay. So where was I at? We have to focus in on what God has called us to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and stop getting distracted by all the little stuff. Sometimes we let little stuff, we just get in the flesh real quick. That ain't right. This ain't right. What they doing ain't right. We're supposed to be ministering to one another. None of us is doing everything right. Now, if I just focus on what Miss Mary doing wrong, how far is our marriage going to get? You know. Now, speaking of Miss Mary, she's such a blessing in my life. She really is. I mean, this. I mean, I. God really. He really did his thing when he gave me Miss Mary. He really. I'm not saying that. You know, preachers always say that. No, this is real. She's really a blessing. It takes a special person, really, because I am hard to live with. I'm hard to live with for myself. It's hard for me to live with me. I have a hard time living with myself. How can she put up with me? I just don't know. Isn't that right? She puts up with me, yeah. Everybody said amen. So he knew what I needed, and I thank him for it. So don't let little things distract you. See, cause sometimes you argue over little things, you're fussing over this little bit thing. All that is a distraction, so you can't be who you really are, a minister. Yeah. Called to God, anointed to God, with the power of God and the Holy Spirit in you. That's what you are. And all this stuff, the devil wants to distract you because he knows, I cannot let them loose in my kingdom. Because right. They'll take somebody out. How many of you got a chance to take some people out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light this week? Amen. Isn't that good? When you start doing that, when you start witnessing and sharing with people and realizing who you are and what you're here for, it makes, even if you got to go to work, it makes it great. If you got to work a job, like I don't like going to work, you know, because I got so much going on and I got, you know, it takes a lot of my time. But once you understand that you're here to be a minister, it makes even that sweeter. Amen. That's your work. That's your vocation. That's what you've been called to do. Amen. First. And then you do the other. The spirit in which we do everything, I know some people are misunderstanding me because they can't handle that yet. You know, What you're doing on this earth in natural won't amount to a hill of beans, like I told you the other time. God's not going to ask me how many water heaters did I replace. He don't care about how many water heaters I replace. You know, he's going to ask me how many people that I share the gift that he's given me with. And unless we just keep drilling you with that, you won't do it. I kept drilling the teens and drilling the teens and drilling the teens with that. And now they're going out sharing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Amen? Ad infinitum. So our job as ministers is to drill you with your purpose and what you're called to do. And when you do that, now you're in a place of obedience. I'm going to ask you a question, and I share this with the teens. If your Johnny, your little kid growing up, you told him, hey, I'm going to take you to go see that new Karate Kid movie tonight, right? But before when I come home, I want your room clean. I want the trash emptied and vacuum this too while you're at it. That's all you got to do. And we're going to go see that movie. Johnny said, all right, we're going to see Karate Kid. You come home, and Johnny's, room is dirty. You know what I'm doing. You know what you're doing, right? He's on the video game. Y'all know about Johnny. Y'all got a Johnny. But the room is not clean. The room is not clean. The trash is not out. And he did nothing. His bed is not even made. Are you going to take him to see the Karate Kid? So why do you expect God to bless you when you're not doing what he's called you to do? See, we want the blessings of God, but we are not obedient to the call of God. And I'm not saying that to put anybody down. I'm saying it to build you up, to encourage you. Because the blessings come from obeying the Father. You know? And if you look at your children, you'll see yourself and how you're treating the Father. You know, I've seen that so many times. When I correct my daughter or my son, and God said, well, you do the same thing with me. How many times has he told me to go into the world and preach the gospel? He made it clear, he said, every creature, so I couldn't pick and choose, right? He said, every creature. I could say, they not ready yet. They look kind of rough, you know. He said, preach the gospel. And I found out that the power of God is so great. And when you step into that place of obedience with God, that's where his favor is. That's where his joy is. See, there's too many Christians walking around looking like the world, sad and no joy and no peace in their life because they're not doing what God has called them to do. You know, they love the world. They care about the things of this world so much. They still believe with the devil's lies that there's something out there better than God. There's nothing better than God. There's no high that's higher than the Spirit of God. Amen? There's no joy. There's no fun greater than the joy of God. Amen? There's nothing better than God. So once you step into that place of obedience, then he says, yeah, let's go see Karate Kid. You know what I'm saying? Let's do that. In other words, if he blessed you, just think about it, and you're being disobedient, he will be going against himself, his own word. He'll be going against himself. Now, he loves you in spite of, just like with your children. Even though they're not perfect, you still try to encourage them and build them up. But you're not going to, after you told them something very clear and they know what to do and they're at that place where they know to do it and they're still not doing it, you can't take them to go see Karate Kid that day. Maybe if they get it together, then you'll bless them. Well, that's the same way God is. He's the Father. He says in one place, if you being evil know how to raise your children, how much more... He's talking about the Holy Spirit here, so you understand. But how much more do I not how to raise my children? Basically is what he's saying. If I know how to give good gifts to your children, I know how to give the Holy Spirit to those that ask them. All right, let's go on. Okay, 2 Timothy. It says, be strong in grace, you therefore, my son. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Now, this is Paul talking to Timothy. Now, he's telling Timothy to commit all the stuff that he's been teaching him to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Now, that's body ministry right there. He didn't say committed to certain ministers. He said committed to faithful men who are able to teach others. There's a lot of faithful men here like Sonny and Brother Sidney, and you know, it's a lot of faithful men that can teach others. And faithful, and then that word men is generic. There's some faithful women that can teach others. And if we don't exercise and begin to start doing. Sometimes we're waiting for God to do something that he's already told us to do a long time ago. All we got to do is just begin to start doing it. I remember when we first started meeting with the teens, God told us to do it. And he just told me, just do it. Because stop talking about it and just do it. And so, okay, and me and Miss Mary said, on Monday, we're going to be here for the teens. And we didn't have no teens. There wasn't any teens. I mean, on the weekend, we're talking about for in the neighborhood. We're going to be here and make ourselves available for teens. There was no, when we made that decision out of our heart, we said it in faith. God knew we meant business then. The other time, we were just talking about it. I guess we were building ourselves up. I don't know. But this time, we meant business. Because we said, we're wasting our time. We need to go forward. Let's go forward and do what God. So we said, we're going to be here Monday. When Monday came, God brought us what? How many teens? Four teens. He sent them that Sunday ahead of time. I think we may have made a commitment on Saturday, the next day. See, some people are waiting for God. And God is waiting for you. Right. So just start doing it. And if you mess up, if you made a mistake, God knows how. He's not going to say, you know, just like your children. If you go out there, your little five-year-old says, Daddy, I'm waxing your car for you. And he's got laundry detergent or something out there, messing up your shine. What you going to do, spank him? No. You're going to say, well, thank you. Thank you, Johnny. Thanks for washing my car, but let me show you how to do it right. But you're going to love the fact that he wanted to do something special for you. So don't wait till you're perfect. Don't wait till you get everything right. Just go out there and do what God's called you to do. Amen? All right. Let's go on. Verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. No one engaged in a warfare. Now look at this part, verse 4. No one engaged in the warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So one thing to be a minister, you can't be entangled with the affairs of this life. I'm learning that every day. I know God has the ability to bless and do things, but Mary and I made a decision a long time ago just to downsize everything because we wanted to be free because I was entangled. I mean, the moment I'm trying to minister, I was pastoring the church at the time, and I had bills and I had notes and everything else, you know, just a whole lot going. I had to work. And I had like this life was wrapped around my neck. And whenever I start going forward, the devil, all he had to do was just pull me, you know. And sometimes I'm not saying I'm just saying is your heart, you can't be double minded. Your heart has to be, this is what I'm about. This is number one. Everything else can go, but this is number one. You cannot be entangled with the affairs of this life. Because if you're entangled, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible where it talks about the tares. You heard the scare. Some seed is sown in stony ground, and some is sown in amongst the thorns. The seed that's sown amongst the thorns, what happens to it? It grows up, and the thorns represent what? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Right? Because everybody thinks, if I had a little bit more money, everything would be all right, right? If I had money, I'd be happy. I'd be rolling. They must be doing good. Look at the car they're driving. You see, but we believe that in our minds still. You see somebody with a nice job and a nice car, those could be the most miserable people in the world. I've seen people with nothing that are the happiest people. So it has nothing to do with the things of this world. So, but if you're entangled, if you believe that, the devil's got you because he's in your belief system. In your mind, you think that this world is where your happiness is. That's why you're building it up. That's why it's your little fortress. That's why, yeah, look what I got, my 401k 5 years ago. My 401k, right? You know, and those things just went down, you see, because you were entangled. And then some people really lost it. Some people got divorces because their 401k went down. I mean, I'm sure some people probably killed themselves. Isn't that terrible? Because they're entangled with the cares of this world. So our job as ministers, first of all, is not to be entangled with the cares of this world. Okay, another quality of ministry, it's not in the scripture here, but this is what the Lord shared with me, and I'm going to share it with you. And I heard it from another minister, and it was recent, and I shared it with the teens. But another quality of a minister is that we have to spend time with God. And you all are ministers, right? You got to spend time with God. Who can guess how much time does the average Christian pray every day? Not an hour. You know that one, right? Not even 15 minutes. Not even 5 minutes. Less than a minute. The average Christian prays less than a minute a day. That's bad. That's bad. Now, this is what I share with the teens, because you're ministers. The reason why people don't pray is because they don't believe God is going to answer their prayers. They actually don't believe it, because if you really knew God would answer your prayers, you'd be praying. Now, one of the things the disciples, they could have asked God to do a whole lot of stuff. You know, if I was walking with Jesus, I would ask him, say, Jesus, teach me how to, walk on water or raise the dead or do something. Teach me how to do something good. Because why? Why do I want him to? Because so I can get famous and rich. This is what I heard another minister sharing this, so it's not mine. But so I can get famous and rich, right? Because if I'm walking on water, what? I got CNN and everybody else right there. This place be packed out, right? Because everybody want to be famous, right? Motive is everything in the ministry. Motive is everything. Why you're doing what you're doing is everything. So I raise the dead. I can really do some good raising the dead, right? You know? But the disciples didn't ask him to teach him to raise the dead or teach him to do any of that, how to walk on water. He said they asked to teach us how to pray. Because they knew that Jesus prayed. He would get up early in the morning and pray. In fact, there's one place, and I may get to it if we have some time, where he got up early in the morning before it was even daylight, before the sun came up, and prayed. Jesus spent a lot of time. I heard this one guy saying about 3 hours in the morning with the Father praying. That's a lot of time. That's better than 1 minute, huh? But see now, and so when he went to go cast out devils, remember the disciples, they said they could not cast out those devils without prayer and fasting. In other words, the disciples get up after he prayed. Jesus was on his way back. He said, where you been? And then they want to cast out a devil. And the Christian church spends, 4 or 5 hours trying to cast out a devil in 1 minute with God. But if you spend 3 hours with God, you just spend 1 minute and the devils leave. You want to see, the Bible says, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. But prayer allows you to spend fellowship with God. But the reason why people don't pray, they don't believe they're going to get anything. They think if they get bored, they get sleepy, they fall asleep. I used to fall asleep praying all the time. How many of y'all fell asleep praying? Okay, all right, I'm not alone. But I realize the importance of prayer. And as a minister, you have to understand the importance of prayer. Now, let me show you something. Now, God is all-powerful, right? We know he can do anything. Can God do anything? That's not true. He cannot lie. He cannot sin. I know I tripped you, God. I'm sorry. But I want you to start thinking differently, not religiously, just think differently. God can do what his word says. He's bound by his word, the Bible says. He's not going to do anything outside of himself. Because once God says something and does something, it becomes lit. So God's not going to lie. He's not going to do anything against his word. In the Bible, he's not going to do anything that's wrong. Okay? So when he says something, it's like if I told my son, I want you to manage my business. You're in charge. I give you dominion over my business. That means he's in total charge of the business, right? And now if I'm in there every day trying to do something in the business, who's got dominion? Me instead of him, right? Now in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible says God gave man dominion over the earth, right? Are you with me? I know this is going to be strange for some of you guys, but it's the truth anyway. He gave us dominion over the earth. And even he gave us the responsibility of naming all the animals. And everything that God did on this earth, now look at the Bible, read your Bible. He did it through men because he knew that men had dominion. That's why prayer is important. Because God, why would I have to ask God for something that he's going to do anyway? Right? Why do I need to pray? That's why people don't pray, because they don't see the need to pray. But you need to pray, because when you pray, when you ask God to do something, you're asking God to come in this situation and take over this situation, take over my household, be Lord of my life. God wants everybody to be saved, but until they ask him, until they receive it, until they speak it forth, then it doesn't happen. Are you with me? That's why we have to pray. If you want God in your household, you've already let the devil come in with the music and everything else. The devil's got dominion in your household by your actions. And the only way God's going to get dominion in your household is if you let him have dominion. God wants dominion in your household, but if you don't let him have it, he's not going to have it. He's a perfect gentleman. He's a loving God. So that's why we're going through stuff, because we're not allowing God to have dominion in our lives. And prayer allows God to have dominion in your life. So as a minister, you have to pray. And I'm not talking about 1 minute. So when you get your little prayer list together, all the things you're praying about, T-Top and everybody, all your families and friends, you pray with authority in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that your power is flowing at T-Top. I thank you that the Spirit of God is moving here. I thank you that you meet every need in the name of Jesus. I thank you that people are being saved. I thank you, Lord, for my family, Aunt Sue, Aunt Uncle Joel, whoever. And I come against those spirits that are trying to oppress them and depress them. When you pray with that authority, what you're doing is you're saying, God, I speak as a man on this earth for ask you now to have dominion in these people's lives and situation. Now, I know that's a little strange for some of you guys, but just think about it. Why else pray? If God's going to do anything he wants to do anyway, right? He's not playing chess with us. He's not just up here letting somebody go through something and let this other person. Now, he can use everything we deal with. He will use everything if we allow him to. But I've seen people go through the same thing over and over and over and over and over again until they die. And it has nothing to do with God, a shortage in God. It has to do with them not allowing God to be Lord of their life. Jesus, be Lord of my life. Use me as a minister. Speak through my mouth. Amen. Use my feet, my hands. The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick. Right? Guess what? We all got hands. But if we don't take what he said at his word and begin to do it, it will never happen. I don't mean to give you a, you know, I want you to be excited. But the truth is, this is what you're able to do, and the devil has kept us through religion. He said, beware of religion. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Because the power of God that's needed to do the work, some of y'all need God's power in your household to drive out the works of the devil. Amen? And that's the only way it's going to happen unless you know the truth. So God needs you as a man of God, as a woman of God, to pray. Okay, let's go on real quick. Verse 4, I'm going to read it again. No one engaged in this warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes accordingly to the rules. Now, if you're in a game, basically saying God has rules and orders. So you're not going to get the crown unless you compete. Even athletes know, if you want to be a good athlete, you know, I like basketball. That's my sport to watch. I like football to play, but to watch, I like to watch basketball. And I just happen to be a Laker fan since I'm from Los Angeles, right? I know, a lot of people don't like the Lakers and stuff. I'm not entangled with it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not well, Miss Mary said I was entangled with it. She said, I was entangled. I have to admit, I was entangled with the championship this year, okay? It got me. There's times I should have been studying. I was watching the game. I had the game on while I was studying. I mean, now the point is with the Lakers, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, these are great people that play basketball. Now, you know how they became great? How they become great? They were born great. They worked hard. They work harder than the rest of them. All of them have the same, both Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan have the same qualities as far as work ethic. They all are known for working hard at what they do because they love basketball. This is their livelihood. This is what they're about. This is what they're known for. This is what they're here for. And we as Christians should work even harder at something that's going to bring eternal life to a lost and dying world. If Kobe Bryant could be out there shooting 1,000 free throws, how many times, how many scriptures should we be memorizing? How many times, you know, how hard have we worked to something that's even more profitable? You know, the Bible says bodily exercise profit little, but rather exercise yourself unto godliness. So we got to exercise ourselves in living a godly life. We got to exercise and begin to work hard, just like Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, even harder, because what they're fighting for, what they're working for, is nothing. It's nothing. The golden calf. Mary calls it the golden calf. Every time she sees them kissing the trophy and stuff, she said, look at them kissing the golden. Mary's real religious, you know. She's kind of a fanatical, you know. What's wrong with her? They kissing the, she watches them kiss it. She watch them kiss it. And they all start kissing. The Stanley Cup, they were all, we watched all of them. They just kissing the golden calf. You know, she has no grace towards sports at all. But she's telling me the truth, you know. You know, it's good to have somebody around you that can keep you straight. Amen? Really, keep you straight. Because I probably, okay, praise God. Let me go on. Where were we at? Verse 7. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to the gospel, according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer. In other words, Paul preached the gospel to the point where he was in jail. Okay, verse 10. Therefore I endured all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain. Now look at this. He endured all that stuff for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the deliverance or the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. God wants you to endure everything, all your hardships, because it's worth it to get someone saved. See, it would have been sweet if God would have wheeled, got saved, right? And instantly, poof, we're in heaven. Yeah, we're just enjoying the prayer. But you know what? He needs us, our mouths, our hands, our feet, to go out and reach the lost. So in the process of that, the devil's going to try to stop you, make you worry about your bills, worry about this, for having a problem with your husband and your wife, arguing over little bitty stupid things. You both love each other, give it up. You know, I mean, you're going to make up anyway, so why get into it anyway? Let it go, you know what I'm saying? So you're going through all that unnecessary stuff because he's just using that to distract you, because if your mind is on the things of God, guess what you're going to be doing? You're going to be witnessing and sharing with people, all right? All right, so endure that stuff so that other people can get saved, amen? Some people be driving down the road and they're thinking about what their wife said instead of what the Lord is saying to them, you know, or they're thinking about, they're worrying about their bills instead of hearing from the Lord. The Bible says, if you seek me first in my kingdom, he said, I'll take care of that. He says, take no thought for your life. How many of you are taking thought for your life more than you are for God? That's where the problem lies. I found out, and you know what, I can't change anything, do anything anyway other than my own strength. I'm limited. Some things, so I said, you know what, I'm going to just take thought for you, Lord. Take thought for what you want me to do. Take thought for ministry. Take thought for why I'm here. Because the sand is going down fast. People are dying and going to hell. And I don't want to be responsible for their lives. And when I started doing that, then God took care of everything else. Amen. It works out. You can't, all the work things you're worried about, you can't change them anyway. But if you take care of God's business, you know the rest. God takes care of yours. And that, we all know that. And we just need to remind ourselves, amen? Where I'm at, verse, nobody's following me, okay. Okay, verse 11. Okay, this is a faithful, thank you, David. This is a faithful saying, for if he died, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he would deny us. And every day, we have an opportunity to either deny him or speak for him. Okay? Okay, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Okay, let's go down real quick to verse 15. It says, be diligent to present yourselves approved unto God, or a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like a cancer. Now, this is not ministry here. When you listen to people that speak, and like in church, if you listen to evil speaking and stuff like that, stuff that's not right, it just spreads like cancer. It's the devil trying to get in. We're supposed to be what? Ministering to each other as every joint supplies, right? I just stopped there to say that. Okay, now verse down to verse 20. But in a great house, there is not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of clay, some of honor and some of dishonor. Isn't that interesting? In this house, there's people that's doing real good in the word, studying and praying and all the time, like Miss Mary. I just look up to her. She really loves the Lord, you know, and I always say this, I don't know anybody in my lifetime, in my whole Christian life, that loves the Lord more than she does. You just start talking about God, she might just start crying. You know, I mean, really, seriously, I mean, I thought for a while, I said, well, she's just, you know, maybe she's, you know, but then I kept watching her, and over the years, she's still the same way. And I'm thinking, Lord, I want to love you like that. Because I don't just start crying and just really get into it. I mean, she can just 24/7 Jesus. I mean, you know, sometimes I got to go home and just take a break, you know what I'm saying? You know, I minister a lot, you know, I do a lot of stuff. Sometimes I want to go home and just see what's on the news, you know. But Mary, she don't have to watch the news or nothing. I don't get it. I thought, well, she'll grow out of that, you know, like most of us have, you know. No, she's crying. See? Okay, so, but, you know, so and that's just like amazes me. Where am I at? Oh, no, 20. I'm in 20. Okay, so they got people that love the Lord like her, and they got people like me. Some vessels of gold and some vessels of clay. You see what I'm saying? So whatever vessel, like the guy was talking about vessels last week, right? But I said, man, he's really, get in there. Because I love that. Because we are all vessels of God. The Lord gave me an example I gave with Mary as in a vessel. God is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. God is in you. He's not out there trying to get in. If you're saved and you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is in you. He's in you. And he's in you for a purpose. He's not in you because he just needs a place to stay. Your bodies are the temple of God. He's not homeless looking for a place to stay. He's in you for a purpose to go out and reach the world. Now check this out. Now, how can God use you? If you look at it like a pipe, if your life is a pipe, and God is on one end, and now I'll do plumbing, so that's why I use these pipe analogies. Now, there's some pipes they call galvanized pipes. After years, they get old and corroded inside. It could be a one-inch pipe, but by the time you can barely see through it. Sometimes it gets completely blocked up. And just a little bit of water drips out the other end. So that's why God wants us to live holy lives and to live right so he can flow through us clear. So he says to purge yourself or to put off all these things, to let this stuff go, that stuff that you think the devil told you was valuable, let it go because God wants to work through you. When you're entangled with the world, when you love the things of the world and you're following after your flesh, all that does is maybe a drop of water comes out. You know, that drop of water will be helpful to somebody who doesn't have any water. But the only reason why he wants us to clean our lives up is not because that makes us a holy something. It's because he wants to be able to flow through us freely. And there's nothing like being free where God can flow through you freely. Amen. And nothing like that. And so that's what he's saying here. He says, so he wants us to be a vessel of what? Of honor. Okay, instead of one of dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these, from the latter, he says, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And that's what ministry is about. Ministry is about building you up and preparing you. First of all, allowing you to see who you are through the word. Your ministers of reconciliation. You've been called to do ministry. That's your number one priority. Everything else is on the back burner. If you don't understand that, you're missing it. And so you have to be obedient to that call. As you're obedient to that call, God's blessings and his favor comes into your life. I'm not saying you're not going to have hardships and stuff you have to deal with. The devil's going to see to that. You know, like the young man that was ministering, the devil tried to attack him right away, stop him from ministering. So, but now you come to church, you get built up, equipped, so you can get edified, so you can go out and continue to minister. That's what this is about. Because when we stand before God, it's not going to matter. Nothing is going to matter. But do we do that work? Do we go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature? And we should be thoroughly furnished, he said, unto every good work. Amen? Now, I teach this a lot because the church as a whole, I'm watching the church, the body of Christ, we've kind of gone down in numbers. Not this church. I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole is going down in numbers. And the reason why is because we left our first love. We've left our calling, and our calling is to go out and reach the world. It doesn't matter if nobody shows up here. There's still a world out there that needs Jesus. Are you with me? It doesn't matter if you think you're going to be a great pastor somewhere, there's TV evangelist or whatever. There's people walking by you every day. And as you become obedient, God will give you wisdom. Start asking God. Start spending time with God in the morning. He'll give you wisdom on how to share with people what your part is. He may have you doing something that's totally different than nobody's ever done before. And you have the ability to change the world. One person can change the world. One person can change. It can be like a snowball effect. You could be in a situation. When I got saved, nobody in my family was saved. It was eight of us in the family. All of them were alcoholics, on drugs or something like that. I was the only one. I got saved at 18 years old in 1977. When I got saved, eventually, after 2 years, my father, who was an alcoholic, he got saved and became a Baptist minister. My mother got saved. They were all partiers, big-time partiers. Everybody wanted to go to my family's parties. And then my brothers got saved. My sisters got, all of them got saved. They gave their life to the Lord. One person can make a difference. Nobody in your household, none of your friends have to go to hell. It's only if you let them. That's why the Bible says we don't want the blood on our hands. It's a hard message. And I know I don't try to put guilt on anybody. I want to build you up. But it's that serious. I know people, we saw a boy, like I mentioned last week, 15 years old. And I asked the youth Wednesday, I said, how many of you guys met him? And about four or five of them raised their hands, right? They all raised their hands and they said they met him. Jamal, I don't know if he raised his hand, but they all raised their hands and they said they met him. Right. So I said, how many of you got a chance to share Christ with them? And they lowered their hands. That Friday, he died. He died in a pool accident. If you haven't heard, he hit his head in the pool over at the Jasmine swimming complex. So, but they had an opportunity as a church to minister to them. I'm not putting guilt on them. They know. You know, I've had it happen to me where this one kid, God told me to go minister to, and I didn't minister to him. The next time he got shot in the head, and next time I came by, he was dead. So that happens. And I was ministering at the time. But if you make yourself available, you say, Lord, I'm available. Use my hands. Use my feet. From this day forward, I want to be obedient. This is what my life is about, the ministry of reconciliation. I am in the ministry full time. Amen? You're all in the ministry full time. That's the ministry out there. That's not up here is the ministry. We are servants. Our job is to feed you, to build you up so that you can do the work of the ministry. We're nothing but servants. And our job is just to serve. You know, people have lifted up preachers and stuff. I'm going to go hear so-and-so. And they don't spend, 1 minute with the Lord. You're going to go hear so-and-so? Yeah, you're going to get a goosebump, you're going to feel good, you're going to say some good things, but you're going to forget it the next week, and you're going to have to hear so-and-so again, somebody else. Right? That's what happens. All these great sermons we've heard, we don't remember hardly any of them. When you start doing what God's called you to do, it'll stick. Truth will stick to you. Amen?
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.